This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a former literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
Bringing interviews, inspiration, and information to encourage, refresh, and equip you to embrace the deep, to find your truest story, your truest message in the deep places.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at writefromthedeep.com. Welcome, listeners. Welcome to the deep. And we are just so excited to be here with you because we've gone through gymnastics to make this podcast work. And we're going to talk more about that. It fits right in with our topic today. And we have a special guest with us, Kimberly Woodhouse, an amazing author, prolific author. And I'm going to let, of course, Karen introduce her because they're buddies.
Kim and I met so many years ago. We were both about 2. We met at an ACFW convention and discovered that we really clicked and enjoyed talking together. I met her daughter Kayla there as well. And in the course of that meeting and us getting to know each other, I was working for B&H Publishing Group at the time, and I knew that what I wanted was for Kim and Kayla to write some novels for me at B&H. And so they did that, and it was wonderful, and we had so much fun together, and Kim has gone on to author a host of other books, and she is just an amazing writer, an amazing woman. She's a devoted wife and mother. She's got her daughter, Kayla, who has dealt with just an abundance of health issues, some very serious. Their son, Josh, who has dealt with his own issues. It's as though if you looked at Kim through the world's eyes, you would think this family was cursed. And yet the reality is they are so blessed because we know that these things are coming against them so that the enemy can derail their ministry. They've been on a number of TV shows, including Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Ty Pennington and his group came in and built a wonderful home for them because of Kayla's health issues. So there's just so much in Kim's life that could have defeated her in her efforts to minister and to write. And yet, because of her faith and trust in God and the faith and trust that her husband had, they have overcome and God has overcome through them. So, Kim, we are delighted to have you here and to talk about what you can do when Satan just doesn't let up.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be here today.
Yes, welcome, Kim. And so we always start the show talking about the deep, and the deep means different things to different people. What do you think of when you think of the deep? What would that mean to you, Kim?
I think it has several different meanings in my own life. When I think of the deep, I think of going deep in the Word and digging in the Word. The deep also means the pits and sometimes the horrible stuff that we go through. And a lot of times when I speak around the country and share, I'll say a little phrase and it's like, you know, God's grace is always deeper than your lowest moment. Because a lot of times we think we're in the deep, in the worst possible part that we could be in. And yet God's grace is always there. And knowing that it's always deeper than we think, you know, we can handle or what we can go through. And so it has, you know, different meanings for me in that way. Deep also to me means the depth of emotions and feelings and everything that God has given us for spiritual depth, and not just, you know, being a surfacey Christian to show the world, mm-hmm. Oh, hey, I'm a good person. I go to church on Sunday, you know,
right?
But
right.
Actually having that depth and the spiritual depth, which I crave more and more. And I just really want to get all the way to the deep, you know, no matter what trials, no matter what junk accompanies that, I want to get all the way to the deep.
I love that.
You know, I think that's one of the things that I respect the most about you, Kim, and that I love the most about you is that when these difficult things have come in your life, what they've done is they've driven you to go deeper with God. A lot of people would be derailed and be so discouraged by what happened that they might start to doubt God. But you find yourself going before God and going on your face before Him and digging in His Word to understand And I think that's one of the things that many of us lack, is that awareness that when we hit these trials, these struggles, even these life-threatening situations that you guys have been in, when we hit those kinds of things, our first reaction seems to be, why? But I've seen in you all these years, I've seen how it sends you to God and to His Word. So how do you think that that happened? What happened in you that conditioned you to do that rather than to doubt and to scream why at the heavens?
I think a big first foundational stone, you know, for me was the fact that my dad is a pastor, and I was raised in a wonderful, wonderful Christian home, and have an older brother and an older sister that helped model it for me as well. But my dad used to often say, when we were younger, that you always knew if you weren't doing what God wanted you to do, if you weren't on track, because the enemy would leave you alone.
Yeah.
So it was a really good example for us to realize that, you know, things are not supposed to be smooth sailing. We're not supposed to have life that's a bowl of cherries, you know, all the time. And yes, the Lord blesses in huge ways, and we have so much to be thankful for. But understanding that persecution and suffering are just going to be a part of our lives, and understanding that we should want that persecution and suffering because we know that we're on the right track, that we're doing what God has called us to do, because this is not our home. This is not where we're going to be. You know, we're aliens of this world, it says over and over in Scripture.
Talk about some of the difficulties and challenges that you've had, in case our listeners don't know.
Well, I'll try to be really brief.
That should be part of the answer, people.
Yeah. It should. Karen knows a whole lot. Well, she probably knows everything out of our story. We've known each other so long, but she's walked this journey with me through a lot of it too, and taught me some valuable lessons. So I have to say thank you for that, Karen. But Jeremy and I met at Bible college, and we knew that we were going to serve the Lord, and we committed to put our lives to God in ministry. And so we knew we were going into full-time ministry. And our son was born, and he almost died several times, a very sick baby. And then our daughter was born, and we thought, oh, she's this perfect, happy, healthy, you know, sweet little baby. And Josh was the one we always had to listen to his breathing, and he was sick a lot. And then one day Kayla had a heat stroke, and she was 14 months old. And the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, through years of lots of different doctors actually around the country had to put the pieces of the puzzle together, she was diagnosed with a really rare nerve disorder. She was 3 and a half, I believe, when that happened. And nobody had any answers. And the doctor who diagnosed her was a wonderful Christian man, but he sat in front of me and rolled his stool up really close because I had 5 million questions. And he said, you know what? God made her this way. And we don't know of any other kids in the world that actually have this at this moment in time that are living, but we're going to do this together. And he said, you just remember that God is the great physician, and he understands when nobody else does.
Oh my.
So over the years, there was a lot of health issues with Kayla. In fact, she had to have brain surgery at the age of 9 for a completely different thing. And insurance companies wouldn't touch us with a 10-foot pole back then because she was diagnosed with hereditary sensory autonomic neuropathy. And so that first word, hereditary, flagged the whole family. We couldn't get insurance. So we owed hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical bills. And you know, that's just all part of it. I told one hospital, I'll pay for this for the rest of my life. That's fine. My daughter is worth it. And I really don't care. I'm not taking any of this other stuff with me, you know? So it's okay.
Wow. And how is she doing now?
She's absolutely wonderful now. I mean, she still has the nerve disorder. She still has a lot of health issues, but she graduated with highest honors from the University of Colorado and is now in seminary studying to get her Master of Divinity in discipleship. And so she is just eating it up, you know, studying the Greek and the Hebrew and studying theology and just just loving it. So she's doing really well. It's just a wonderful thing. And I keep praising God for how he gave us this story, because it's his story.
The remarkable thing, Kim, is knowing Kayla as I do and seeing the way that she has responded and reacted in all of this. This is a young lady who has an incredible grounding in her trust in God and an incredible grounding in her knowledge of God. It's an intimate knowledge that has her so well anchored. I don't care what else comes to her in life. She's going to deal with it with the same grace and the same faith that you do. And that's just an amazing thing. In addition to that, you and Kayla wrote novels together, so you guys experienced the publishing world together. So talk to us about how the struggles and all these kinds of attacks affected you in your writing journey.
Oh, my. That's a loaded question.
I know. That's why I asked it.
Oh, goodness. I feel like with every book, what I have to do is I really pray and I dedicate that book, you know, to the Lord. It's like, okay, whatever you have for me, whatever words you have for me, because it's not my story, it's your story. Whatever you'd have me do, you know, you just do that through me. And every single book, I'm on book 20 now, I think is the one I'm writing at the moment. And every single one of these books has had some horrific catastrophe, you know, something happened in the middle of it, whether it be technology, whether it be family, you know, whether it be like last year, I almost died and was in the hospital and, you know, it was in the middle of a book and just some real craziness.
I'm going to interrupt you just for a minute. I remember when you sent me a text and an email and you let me know what everything that was going on in the struggles. Your biggest concern was if you were on deadline. And I'm like, Kim, you're in the hospital. They're afraid you're going to die and you're worried about your deadline.
I think that's a first, Kim. No one has ever like been on the podcast and going, well, I almost died in my last book. You know.
Oh, but you know, that book, I know I'm kind of changing gears, but that book, it was a few books ago, but it was Out of the Ashes, and it was one that Tracy Peterson and I wrote for Bethany House. And when we had planned the series, obviously we had no idea what was going to happen, you know, to Kim in the middle of it. But even what we had plotted out and in our long synopsis to write. So as I was writing this book, it really became Out of the Ashes for me, because our characters had gone through just some horrible, dark times. And we've had so much response from this book, not only because of the dedication and how we wrote about what we went through the writing of the book, but then how God translated that onto the page and made the story what he wanted it to be, truly a story of grace and transformation, and what God can take all the broken, shattered pieces of your life and make something beautiful out of it. And so the privilege of writing with Kayla was just absolutely wonderful. And we've talked about doing more, you know, once she's done with school, she's had to write, you know, 5 million papers for all of her. She was an English lit major, so she wrote paper after paper after paper.
And she really is a remarkable writer. She does a blog as well, as do you.
Yeah, and she's brilliant. I think, you know, even if God just had me on this journey for her to write, I don't know. But, you know, praise God for what he's done. So it's amazing each time how we grow and learn, and even through the darkest of moments. I mean, I've even had my computer one time got a spider virus and shut down, and I lost half of a manuscript. Karen probably remembers that one quite well.
I do. And, I remember that very well.
But it was neat to see how God used that and in the rewrite. And it just is all to bring glory to his name. And I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for every yucky, hard, terrible, awful thing, you know, that we've had to go through, because I've grown. And I think that's what I'm supposed to do.
What keeps you going, though, practically, Kim? How do you practically put your, you know, get your mind and your heart right to put your rear end in the chair and write when you're constantly pummeled?
That's a really good question. For me, I'll tell you what I've kind of settled on the past decade. I love Bible study, and I've gotten more and more in depth in that. But the challenge that I have had is not just in doing an inductive or a deep Bible study, but just spending time in the Word each day. So what I do right now, I've been doing the past 3 years, is I'm reading through the Bible 7 times every year. So every 52 days, I go through the entire Word of God. And I do that first. And that, I believe, is my foundation. That's my first, you know, little step each day, because I can't believe, I mean, and I've spent a lot of time in the Word throughout my life. You know, full-time ministry has been all of my 45 plus however old I am years. And I don't even know what how old I am at the moment. But spending this time doing this every 52 days, it's such a large chunk that I'm reading. And what I started doing about a year and a half ago is I got a chronological one-year Bible. And so I do 7 days, you know, a day. But it's neat because the context and all the scripture backing up scripture, because all the scripture that lines up with one another in the chronological Bible is put together. And so reading that huge chunk, I feel like I'm just getting so much more out of it. And then my husband and I, he's also a pastor. So my second step there is Jeremy and I, he's absolutely amazing. We've been married 27 years this year. And we spend time together each day praying and talking about what the Lord is teaching us and what we're learning. And we know that we've got to keep our relationship, you know, first after our relationship with God. And so putting that in the right perspective and knowing that we've got to hold each other up. You know, we went to a conference years ago that they had done this assessment of pastors and wives. And they had given us the statistic that 97% of all families, marriages that have a special needs child or a sick child or a child with cancer, whatever, end in divorce.
Wow.
And that was horrifying, you know, to hear.
No kidding.
And very startling for us. You know, at the time we laughed, and my husband said, well, we're both too stubborn to give up, which is true. But understanding that we have to put that marriage first, because anybody who's in ministry understands that oftentimes, you know, the church, people need you. It would be easy to put that relationship on the back burner. So that's, you know, kind of my second step, is that my husband and I, that comes before everything else. And then
see, and those, both the practical of those things are so important for writers as well, because we're in a ministry in writing for God, and to not let our writing come before being in depth in the Bible and time with God and time with our spouses and our families, that's really important. Kim, we're coming to the end of our time together. It happened so fast. It's been so much fun to listen to you. So do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners, for these writers out there who may be feeling like the enemy has made them his own special project and just keeps coming after them one hit after another? Any special words of wisdom for them?
Well, I think I would say first, you know, get in the Word. And then I would say it is a discipline to write. This is a job, you know, something that we do, and it's a job that God has given us. So we do have to get that rear end in the chair, and it's not just a right whenever you feel the whimsy and you feel happy and everything's going the right way. I would never get anything done because I don't ever
have
those.
I know, me neither.
Those kind of days. But in 1 Peter, hopefully I'll get the verses right, but it's in the first chapter of 1 Peter, and they're talking about, you know, this great inheritance and salvation that we have, which is imperishable, and the whole book of 1 Peter talks about suffering. But in, I think it's verse 6, maybe 5 or 6, and he says, in this, and he's talking about our salvation, you know, that's imperishable. In this, right, you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials.
Yes.
So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it makes me giggle, you know, when I say, even though now, for a little while, if necessary.
That is 1 Peter 6, you're right. 1:6. 1:6, you're right.
Okay, good. I got it right. Okay, good.
How wonderful that he gives us that and saying, even now, if necessary, almost tongue-in-cheek, because he knows how stubborn we are and how inclined we are to get off the path that he's given us. But then he reminds us of the purpose of the suffering and of the blessing and of the fact that we are glorifying him. And as you said at the very beginning, this isn't our home, that we have him here with us to go through this foreign land and to do it with grace and faith and a sense of joy. Kim, you've been wonderful. You've shared great truths with us, and we so appreciate it. We'll have to have you come back and talk some more because I know you've got a lot more to say. But thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, thank you, Kim.
Thank you so much.
Hey, guys, thanks for joining us today. We hope you found it helpful.
And if you know someone else who needs this podcast, please share it.
You can find backlist episodes and lots more resources at our website, rightfromthedeep.com.
Yep, we'd love to connect with you guys there.
So, until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.